entertaining, cool. You're listening to the only radio that matters, BBS Talk Radio. You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, only on BBS Talk Radio.
Yes, only on BBS Talk Radio, Friday mornings at 11 and Saturdays at 11 as well, and whenever. We're in repeat mode. Welcome to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. That's me, your friendly psychologist. Get ready to kick back and relax and hear about lots of cool stuff today. We're having kind of a potpourri show, all sorts of stuff. I'm inviting you to call in if you have problems. On the air, you can call me at 818-602-4498, and I'll try to help you out, you know? Also, by the way, I just want to establish that we do not have a therapeutic relationship, you and I, all you listeners out there. So any information I discuss is for informational purposes only. I just have to make that disclaimer all the time before I go on the air. It's just an important thing to do. So if I share some information with you or tell you a story and you follow that or do something, then it's not my fault. See? It's your choice. Anyway, I've got lots of cool, crazy, and kind of interesting psych news stories to share with you today. Some of the latest research on sex. Turn up the volume. I'll say it again. Sex research. How to feel better. We all want to feel better, don't you? Yeah, so I'm going to tell you about how to feel better. This is a lot of no-brainer stuff, but I get it off the Metro Wire news service. And it's the health source. It's the mental stuff. You know, about abuse, too. About the perception of shrinks, what people don't like about us. And I don't blame them a lot of times. We're going to find out also why your personality problem may be ruining your relationships. And again, hear listeners, if they choose to call in, talk about their deepest, darkest secrets and relationship issues. Other problems as well. Okay. So again, that number is 818-602-4498. Dr. Michelle, your friendly psychologist. Right here for you. If you'd like to log on to my website, you can also do so. Check me out at drmichelletherapy.com. drmichelletherapy.com. And then, you know, you can learn a little bit more about where I'm coming from in terms of therapeutic orientation and some of the things I do and that kind of thing. So stay here at bbstalkradio.com, though. This is where it's at. This is where you get all the fun stuff and all the good information. And that's what. All right, let's check out some of the latest news in psych information and, you know, some of the latest studies going on. Apparently, women have fewer complaints about their sex lives than previously believed. And this is actually, you know, the title of this news story. Women may have fewer sex problems than previously believed. Just jumped out from the screen for me. There's a sort of a recent Kinsey Institute survey. They're the sex institute kind of people. And they ask women whether they were troubled about sex. Fewer than one quarter said they had a problem. This is, you know, and we do statistics and they take the poll from the nation and all that. USA Today reports that is significantly lower than a widely quoted University of Chicago study a while back, finding that 43% of women suffer from sexual dysfunction. You've heard of all those reports and you've seen all those talk shows, you know, all the talk shows talking about women's sexual dysfunction. What's that about? You know, well, anyway, the Institute Director of Kinsey says many women put sex on a back burner because they're busy. They're tired because of kids or job stress. Now, that doesn't mean anything's wrong with them. So the Kinsey people are saying that the first study where 43% of the women said they have sexual dysfunction, they just kind of interpreted that as sexual dysfunction. They didn't really get into it. They had like a, what do they call a survey, a Likert scale, 1 through 5. How often do you have sex? 1, nothing. 5, all the time. What is all the time? That kind of thing. So they just kind of interpreted those results. But they didn't really look at the women's lifestyles in that first thing. Like, what are they doing? Do they work? Yeah. Do most of them have jobs? Yeah. Part-time. Are they trying to deal with kids? Yep. Yep. This came out in the Archives of Sexual Behavior. So when you're hearing all this stuff on all the talk shows and the news about women who have sexual dysfunction, we can't achieve orgasm. We can't feel good. We can't feel excited. We can't. No, it's just, God, there's so much going on. And when women are really busy working and trying to take care of kids and or going to school full time, trying to get their careers in high gear and trying to be social. Hey, what a concept. Get out there and be social. Talk to people. Forget about that. But, I mean, you got to do that. You got to get out there and have partay a little bit and enjoy yourself. So you got to balance all these things. See, the deal is with women, we have a lot of feelings, and we take our fatigue with feelings as well, and depression. And so we take a lot of it in, and anxiety. Yep, we're feeling. So that really does apply to our ability to turn it on. I mean, do you want us to fake it? Oh, okay. You do. All right. Okay. Just checking. Okay. Well, that's why many of us do, because we don't want to disappoint you. But here's the deal. We take on all the stress and all the things going on in our life, plus the fatigue, which causes depression and anxiety, and we're touchy-feely people. And sometimes we don't want to be touchy-feely. And or vice versa. We'll just go through the motions because we're feeling it. Guys aren't feeling it. Guys just want to do it because they're, you know, they're action people. They're visual. They're action. Take care of business. Get that testosterone kicking. Feel good. And then go to sleep. Just kidding. I mean, I'm really mean. I'm just kidding. Not really. Anyway, that's the latest study. It's, you know, you really have to look at what women are dealing with. It's not about that they're dysfunctional. It's that they've got so much stressors in their life, much more so than the last generation, of course. And even we women in our 20s and 30s, Sam's laughing at me. Ha! Yeah, right. You wish, baby. Anyway, that's what you're saying to me. I can see that. Anyway, we women in our young ages who are still really pursuing careers and working hard, really a lot of stuff going on with a lot of stressors. Competition, low self-esteem, stuff like that. So, you know, we got all the stuff we're dealing with. Guys just, bada boom, they just deal with it and then they get rid of it and they're cool. So that's how it works. All right. Next story. Oh, how to make yourself feel better. You know, they have these laughing clubs. Have you heard of that? It's really kind of weird in a way. But you know what? When I started reading about this, I thought, what a cool idea. They have laughing clubs. It's not where people sit around and get high and then sit and, well, maybe they do. But according to this news story, there's this huge thing going on in Connecticut. Connecticut. Maybe they need to laugh in Connecticut because it's so friggin' cold. Now I'm going to get hate letters. They're taking part in these laughter clubs. They're like catching on. You know, like out here in Southern California, we have like meditation and mellow kind of things. We have spiritual groups and meditative groups and, you know, cleansing our aura groups out here in California. Out in Connecticut, they're just playing all, let's feel better. Let's not do this, you know, AC, spacey, fairy, airy stuff. You know what I'm talking about? The 80s kind of like stuff. Let's get to it. Let's laugh. Let's just feel better. Folks come together to laugh and have a good time. There's a psychology professor at Yale. Her name is Marianne LaFrance. And she studies smiling and laughing. And she says laughing is good and soothing for the soul. It helps with depression. It helps with anxiety. So people get laughter clubs. And what do? They watch films that turn them on. Tonight's film, we're going to sit around and do this and watch this. Or we're going to tell jokes. We're going to have a stand-up comedian come over to our laughing club or a couple of them. And if they're bad comedians, that's cool too. We laugh at them and we throw food at them. So, you know, this is a new thing that's really happening in some East Coast cities. It's laughing clubs. I like that idea. Longevity. You know the Norman Cousins guy that did the book on, yeah. And he was really into curing cancer, physical illness, with his wife. Keeping her happy, keep things laughing, keep things light. And keeping a positive outlook is really important, too. Now, there's another study here. Part two. Happy people live longer. Yeah, keeping a positive outlook may help people live longer. USA Today reports a new study showing that heart disease patients who stayed positive, all right, throughout their recovery or medication or exercise or whatever they were trying to do, are 20% more likely than their frowning counterparts to live another 11 years. Yep. So the 20 heart patients are 20% more likely, not 20 heart patients, they're 20% more likely, the heart patients in this study, to outlive their counterparts who also had heart issues by 11 years. Oh, where do they get this stuff? Anyway, the study was presented a while back at the American Psychosomatic Society, Mind and Body Stuff Psychosomatic. And that was in Phoenix, Arizona a while back. By the way, the author of the study says, it's not necessary to keep a grin on your face, you know, and be phony. Hi, how are you? Yay. Hi, how are you? Like a politician all the time. Yeah. I feel like crap, but I'm smiling. Yeah. No, it's not, you don't have to do that. Just avoiding emotional lows will do. The down and dirties where you're feeling, oh my God. Wallowing in self-pity. Oh, my God, I feel, oh, God. And you love to complain. Anyway, experts say the happy heart patient's longevity may be attributed to a lower output of stress hormones, which thicken the blood. Better coping skills. Better blood labs. You see, what happens is when you have lower stress, you put out the good stuff. When you have high stress, not good. Right? The stress hormones come out and they really mess you up, make you sick, give you heart attacks. And I believe it gives us other illnesses as well. Psychosomatic, mind, body. Another study, number two, number three. If you want to be healthier, keep a positive attitude. Duh. A new study from the Mayo Clinic found that optimists reported having better physical and emotional health. This was a Japanese study, by the way. Research is a follow-up to a study that was done a couple of years ago, and they're saying, wow, this really proves it. Optimists tend to live longer and have better lives. It's the Mayo Clinic Proceedings issue journal. That whole thing about don't worry, be happy, feel better, chill out. Yeah, and you can do all that stuff to make yourself feel better, too. You know, you can, of course, you can do stress, behavioral exercises. You can do meditation. You can do deep breathing, visualization, imagery. You know, make it all real in your head, and then that's how you're really going to be feeling within your body. You make it real. Make it real. You don't fake it. You make it real, and you keep trying to make it real in your head until it sticks. It's repetition, affirmations, good stuff. I really do feel good today, despite my back that's killing me. No, leave that part out. I really do feel good today. I'm feeling great. Yeah. I'm going to overcome this. I'm going to just move along, stretch a little bit, and keep on going. I'm going to get into work. I'm going to be pleasant to people. I'm not going to be fetching and complaining and grumpy all the time. Just going to feel better. Going to be, yeah. It's positive. It's thinking. It's mind-body stuff. And it really does work. It really does work. It's behavioral, cognitive behavioral kind of therapy stuff. Just a part of it. Okay, so just think about some of those things and give me a call if you want to. If you have any questions, I'd love to hear from you. Comments, issues, relationship issues. We're going to be getting into those in just a little bit as well. 818-602-4498 is the number here. There's some depressing stories. I don't want to share these with you. Oh, here's a depressing one I do want to share with you. This is terrible. I don't know if you have kids or not, but if you're thinking about having kids or you may want, check this out. I was like, what? Having boys can take years or at least months off your life. Yep. A new Finnish study from Finland, published in the journal Science shows, I don't know where they get this stuff. Each son takes an average of 34 weeks off of a mother's lifespan. Okay, if you have boys, now, I don't know about you, But if you have boys, you think they're less high maintenance sometimes because they're not as, you know, they don't have a lot of the feelings and the emotions and the stuff that girls do. Well, they do. They just don't express it. They're action-oriented, and they get into trouble a lot more, though. So maybe that's it. Well, it's more of a physiological thing, they're saying. Oh, I love this one. Having daughters actually increases a mother's lifespan slightly. The study looked at birth and marriage records of, check this out, the Sami people. They're in northern Scandinavia. Okay. Now, what they were trying to prove by this study was that women with large families tend to die younger, you know, popping out all those babies. But instead, they found that giving birth to sons had a higher long-term survival cost. Why am I laughing? I have a son, and he's a handful. Why? God. The researchers say there could be biological reasons. All right, here's the deal. Boys are more physically demanding to produce. Yeah, they are. Testosterone produced by the fetus could also suppress a mother's immune system. This is what they're saying. And, however, there's another psychologist who looked at the study and just said this. Generally, boys get on their mother's nerves more than girls. You think? Because they're running around and girls are more willing to help their mothers. Boys are running, yahoo! Throwing things, jumping around and crazy and, you know, they tend to experiment more with drugs and sexuality when they get into the early teens and late and whatever. Yeah, it is about upbringing as well. It's what you teach them and how you bring them up. That's the big backbone of it all. But, so I just like the way that, you know, they did this big, long study. And they're trying to analyze testosterone levels and, you know, having a male child is more difficult to giving birth and all. And this is one psychologist says, boys get on their mother's nerves. They're running around. They're rowdy. They're a pain in the butt sometimes. So that's his psychological, scientific approach to it. Boys are more of a pain in the butt. And I like that. I thought that was kind of fun. I'm just kind of teasing. Honey, if you're out there listening, I love you, little boy. 15 going on 35. Mm. Oh, there's this new surgery they're doing. I was just reading about this morning, too. And I thought, oh, my gosh, I've got to share this with you guys. This is crazy, wacky psychological news stories. What is up with being embarrassed to be embarrassed? You know what I'm saying? What's up with being embarrassed about turning red in a business situation? For me, if you're one of those kind of fair-haired people, you know what I'm talking about? Who easily blushes. That's okay. There's this whole new surgery that they're doing in London now. And it says, London workers, stop blushing. I'm serious. Workers in London will be turning red faces less often. Embarrassed businessmen and women can have surgery to stop blushing. I guess, you know, it's really uncomfortable for some people, if they blush a lot or they're feeling feelings and they come out and the blood vessels in their face and they turn red a lot and that's whatever. It's vulnerability. I guess they perceive that they're going to be seen as vulnerable so that they don't want to blush. They're tired of blushing. I think it's kind of cool to blush in front of people because when people go, you're blushing, it's fun to go, yeah, you're right. Wow, I feel really uncomfortable about this. You know? Or when you're looking at somebody you're really attracted to and you're thinking nasty thoughts. You guys, you know what I'm talking about. And you start like, I mean, I don't know why a guy would blush. But some people just, you know, their skin, they're fair haired, they're lighter skinned. And they show up, you know, the blushing, the red face and all that shows up a lot easier. Okay, so check out this new surgery. I can't believe they're doing that. I can't believe it. Okay. Nerves from the neck that can cause blushing are taken out by a team of surgeons. The doctors perform the operation once a day in the UK. The problem is the treatment is permanent and can carry side effects. You think? Let's just cut those nerves from the neck. Literally and figuratively, This is what we call a no-brainer. Now, the chairman of the ethics committee at the UK College of Life Coaching calls the operation a drastic solution. You think? This is a life coach, a guy who helps solve issues for people. And he says, you're going to have the nerves in your neck cut just so you can stop blushing and feel more comfortable out in public or at your job or with women or men? Anyway, she says that coaching can help folks overcome their weakness and help eliminate them from feeling embarrassed at crucial moments. Yeah, you can do coaching for that kind of thing, therapy. And, it, you know, that you really can. You can learn to deal with your embarrassment and explore why you feel embarrassed at certain situations. And then or you can just go with it and say, I blush easily. And it makes you more vulnerable to people, which I think is kind of cool. You don't have to hide. You don't have to hide this stuff a lot. It's okay. It's really okay. Other people warm up to you when you have more vulnerability. Okay, you're saying, I see what you're saying. You're saying, there's down at the end of the hall, they're shaking their head. No. Some of the business guys looking at me. No. Well, here's the deal. I know you have to come off as that, you know, like you're a really strong business person and you're invulnerable and you're selling your thing and you're going for it and you're really tough and you're strong. I get that. But it's okay to blush once in a while. Come on. Coaching can do that. Oh, by the way, guys down the hall looking at me saying it's really a drag to blush sometimes and you're shaking your head at me. You too can fly to London and have your nerves from the neck cut. A surgery will stop your red faces for a cost of $5,700. Yes, only $5,700. Come on down. Can you imagine an insurance company taking a look at that? Getting the bill. Let's see. Patient cut nerves in neck because of embarrassment from blushing. You think we should pay for this? I don't think so. It's kind of like cosmetic surgery. Yeah. All right. That's kind of a depressing story I'm looking at. I may share that for later. I'm just trying to make you giggle and feel better a little bit this morning. Oh, you know what? There's a survey that outlines patients' opinions of what makes doctors good. Psychologists and MDs and all that stuff. What makes one doctor outshine another? Well, we know this stuff. It's what the editors of the British Medical Journal tried to find out in a recent survey. More than 100 people from 24 countries were given a list of 70 qualities to choose from when asked what makes a doctor good. And what do you think the four answers were that stuck out? Yeah, the good stuff we like, those good bedside manner things. Compassion, understanding, honesty, and empathy. You know, that's important. Got to have all those things. A lot of medical doctors, you know, they are trained in having good bedside manner. Of course, it's part of their training, indeed. But it's very hard sometimes when you're looking at cold, hard facts and medical issues. So the folks in the survey, wow, more than 100 people from 24 countries said they want compassion, understanding, honesty, and empathy. And I must say, I have a lot of doctors who display all of those. Yeah. And sometimes the doctors who display all of those aren't some of the best medical doctors necessarily you want. You want a guy that's going to tell you, are you going to live or are you going to die? How can I treat you right now? How can we get rid of this? What are the choices? What are the options? And kind of lay it on you straight. As for bad doctors, most respondents thought they were a product of a society that undervalues the life or death profession. Okay, that was the study there. And UPI, United Press International, just came out with a story this last week. Same thing, talking about doctors and empathy and all that. But this is more of psychologists, and that's what we're supposed to have, are all those qualities, compassion, understanding, honesty, and empathy. Those are the biggies. Anyway, this story came out last week, I think. It said psychological counseling on TV shows, you know, like Frasier and HBO's The Sopranos, make viewers less likely to seek counseling. Yeah. You think? I don't know. I think I kind of like the dynamic between, The Sopranos. And his psychiatrist. I thought that was kind of cool. Anyway, Iowa State University psychologists David Vogel and Douglas Gentile and grad student Scott Kaplan These guys are working hard. They studied 369 Iowa State students. It's always good to do studies on students to see how TV shows may contribute to negative perceptions about psych services, about shrinks. And the finding was published in the Journal of Clinical Psychology. And it found that TV exposure was related to perceptions of the stigma associated with looking for mental health help. In other words, if you go to a shrink, you're really sick and messed up, as it's portrayed on TV. It says, generally, it seems like therapists are portrayed unethically, like sleeping with a client or implanting false memories or talking about their clients outside of the session. This is all TV stuff. We can't do this. We can't do this. We don't want to lose our license. Anyway, one of the study guys said that these are the things that almost never happen with real therapists. But on a show, they do, because they're probably more exciting. They happen more frequently on TV. Right? It makes it more exciting. A little more gossip. Right. Gabriel Byrne, exactly. Is that on HBO? Yeah, that's HBO. Or is that Showtime? HBO, I think. It's In Session. That show is awesome. I mean, he's really a good psychodynamic therapist. I mean, and it's all scripted, most of it. And the actors are great. That's a really good show to learn more about psychotherapy. However, he gave up a relationship with a client in order to have a relationship with her. You're not supposed to have a sexual relationship or any kind of, you know, relationship unless you have not been with a client for at least 2 years and you have to have for good reason. You lose your license. The guy, come on. Anyway, it was an exciting show. And, you know, she was hot. And something you have to deal with, though, when you're a psychologist, especially a male psychologist, because I think they get hit on a lot more by women. Or you know, it's transference. Come on. Anyway, it's not just the portrayal of therapists, which are often portrayed as buffoons on TV. I don't know. Well, yeah, some kind of that may be keeping people out of therapy. But the portrayal of the clients, they say in this study, is worse. Because the clients come off like, duh. Right? So why should you seek therapy if you think you're going to be perceived negatively and you're going to see someone who's incompetent and not able to help you? Well, I get that. I really get that. That's normal. But just know when you're watching a television show, a scripted show about therapists and in session stuff and all that, it's scripted. It's entertainment. Nobody wants to lose their license over doing crazy things like breaching confidentiality or, you know, having relations, sexual relations with your client. Nobody wants to do that. Got to go through a lot of state testing and ethical stuff. And yeah, nobody, the stuff you get, have to get through to get your license and all, you don't want to blow it. Come on. So anyway, that's, I do think, you know, it's kind of a skewed view of therapists and clients on television shows. I really do. But the Gabriel Byrne does make a good therapist, I must say. The actor. I think he'd be a really good one. Anyway, what else are we looking at here? Oh, I've got some emails to read sent by some listeners. We have some questions. Some of the questions we're going to be covering, by the way, are, can a man have sex with a woman without feeling any emotion? Sarah wrote me that. Oh, come on, Sarah. You got to be kidding me. But no, I'm not putting you down. I don't mean to put you down, honey. I'll just tell you more about what I know about that thing, about that idea. And I'm going to be reading, what else? Let's see, some of the other questions that were sent to me. Are there early warning signs of men that should be avoided? That's a biggie. A lot of women say, God, I really got this turkey, and how did I attract him? What was wrong with me that made me attract him? So I get a lot of that, and we kind of have to explore that and what was so interesting. But, you know, you're not a bad person. Sometimes we just get up with the wrong person, and, you know, they're all exciting, and especially those personality disordered guys. So the number, once again, 818-602-4498, and we do have a caller. Let me get on the line here. Let's see how this works. All right. Good morning, it's Dr. Michelle, and you're on the couch. Hi, who's this? Are you there?
Did they hang up? Let's try it again. All right.
Good morning, it's Dr. Michelle. Are you on the air with me? Let's try it again.
The person whom you're trying to reach
oh, that's
is currently
UK.
Unavailable.
All right, let's hear
Please
it.
Please leave a message after the beep.
Hi, this is Dr. Michelle calling you back. You called me. Did you have a problem? Please let me know. I'd love to hear from you. 818-602-4498. Have a good day. Yeah, that was from the UK. I kind of like that. That was neat. Wait, let me see. Another call coming in. All right, let's get off that one. I'm sending my voicemail right now. All right. Can a man have sex with a woman without feeling emotion? Dear Dr. Michelle. Ay, ay, ay. Got another call coming in. Let me see if I can take this one. All righty. Good morning. It's Dr. Michelle, and you're on the couch. Hello. Let's try it again. Good morning. You're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. Hi, who's this?
Maybe.
There you are.
Jake.
Hey, Jake, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing all right.
Yeah?
I got a problem.
Okay, where are you calling from?
L.A.
Yeah?
Yeah, L.A.
Okay, what's up? What's going on?
Well, you know...
Okay, that's a defense mechanism. Laughing. Go ahead.
I'm a little nervous. What can
I
tell you?
All right, that's all right. Yeah. Just I'm not going to bite. You're on the phone. Yeah. You know, we're just relaxed.
I need a session. That's what I need.
Well, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. What's going on?
Okay. Well, I got this girlfriend.
Okay.
And we've been living together for about a year.
Okay.
And I constantly think that she's screwing around behind my back.
Really?
It's tearing me apart inside.
Okay. Now, how long have you been together?
A year.
Okay. And are you just dating or what?
She's living with me.
Okay.
She has a place, but she basically lives with me.
All right. Okay. All righty. And so you think that she's fooling around on you?
Yeah.
So what are some of the things she's doing that's making you think that?
It's what she does. It's what she says. She says she's faithful and
right.
She says that she's with me and, but she's, you know, she's a paralegal. So she's around, you know, the attorneys
Right.
Guys.
So I want to know what are some of the things she does specifically that makes you feel like she's cheating on you?
Oh. What can I tell you?
Well, tell me.
You know, she'll go out with her girlfriends.
All right. How often?
She'll go out with her girlfriends.
Yeah.
And she'll call me.
Okay.
And I hear giggling in the background.
Good. That's what girls do. Uh-huh.
Well,
we giggle.
Yeah. I just feel like, you know, she's not being truthful with me.
Well, what makes you think that you... When you go out with your girlfriends, a lot of times you're having a good time. Does she go clubbing? Is she out looking for other guys, you think, or what?
She'll go out after work.
Okay. So that's what, 6 p.m., 7 p.m.?
Yeah, right around there.
Okay.
And she'll come home around 9, 9:30.
Yeah.
And she'll smell like alcohol.
Well,
It bothers me. It bothers me.
Uh-huh.
Now, she's invited me out with her before, and I've been out with her. But, you know, I noticed that she's like, she's got this, you know, when she talks to people, she talks to other guys.
Well, yeah.
I kind of think that she's flirting with them.
Okay.
And it bothers me.
Yeah. What makes you think she's flirting with them?
It's the way she responds. It's her body language.
Yeah.
What's that? She giggles, she laughs.
Yeah.
And things aren't that funny.
Well, maybe
you know
not
what I'm
to
saying?
You. Maybe not to you. But so so you're feeling that okay. So how often does she go out?
Oh, maybe once every couple times a month.
Okay, that's not so bad. You let her have her space, right? Do you get to go out too?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. You go out with your guy friends or whatever.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And how is she when you do that?
She's all right.
Okay,
she's
cool.
She knows that I'm with her.
Right,
you know?
She trusts you.
I don't give her any indication, but it just, I just feel like, you know, she's, you know, screwing around behind my back, and it bothers me, and I don't know how to deal with that.
Okay, so you're telling me that there's no evidence to the fact that she is screwing around behind your back. She just goes out with her friends, and she calls you, and she will have been drinking, as sometimes we do when we get off work and we're tired, and... I don't know. It's like a weekend night, maybe she does that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes she does it on a Friday night.
Okay.
That really bugs me.
Why?
It's a Friday night. Friday nights are my night, you know?
Oh, so you guys
don't... She should be with me.
You guys don't hang out on Saturday or Sundays?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we do.
All right, all right. So you're with her and you guys are living together.
And I read her emails.
Oh,
you know, we have a joint computer, you know?
Yeah,
and I read her emails.
So she's... That's kind of paranoid. I don't feel good about that.
You Why?
Know what I'm saying? Well, I think it's intrusive. I mean, really. I think it's really intrusive. So what about her emails are making you feel really insecure? And like she's
it's what she says to her girlfriends.
Like what?
Like, I think there's a code in the message.
Oh, my God.
It just
there's a
bothers
code?
Me, Doc.
What kind of a code?
I don't know. It just, you know, she wants to go out. She wants to have fun. She wants to do this. She wants to do that.
But she only goes out occasionally with her friends, which is really okay. You guys aren't married. She can still go out with her friends if you're married, by the way. But there's no evidence that, I mean, she's coming home early, seemingly. All right?
Yeah.
And so she's got some alcohol. She's not toasted. She's not drunk when she comes home, right?
No.
Okay.
No.
And does she show you affection? And does she tell you things that, you know, indicate to you that she loves you and wants to?
She shows me affection, but our sex life's not that good. You know, we do it about three times a week.
That's pretty good, especially you guys have been together for a year, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty good. You guys both work, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you do for a living?
I do computer sales.
Okay. So you're up and out and you're tired, right? You work really hard. You work full time.
I work hard.
And she's a paralegal, you said, so she works full time. And then you're kind of tired and you're trying to make things, make ends. How old are you guys? What's the general age range?
I'm 35.
Okay. So
she's
a little
32.
Young. Okay. That's cool. That's right. All right. So you're building your lives together and that's good. So I'm just trying to figure out what's going on with you. Why you're constantly, do you get mad at her? Do you tell her that you're upset when she comes home Friday?
Oh, absolutely.
What does she say?
Well, she says there's nothing going on. She constantly, you know, says that she's innocent, that she's not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just bothers me.
Okay. You're going to have to, like, make a decision here. Jake? Is that your name?
I'm sorry. Yeah.
Jake. Honey, you're going to have to make a decision here because you can't live your life like this. Right? Isn't it pretty miserable feeling you're a woman?
Like right now. I'm It's tearing me apart. Listening to this
right
stuff.
Right this moment?
Tears me apart.
What stuff?
Just thinking about, you know, she could be, you know, planning to leave me, you know.
Why would she do that? Has she indicated to you?
No.
And you guys spend almost...
It's scary. It's very scary.
You guys spend almost every night together?
Yeah.
Okay. And you go out and do fun stuff together?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Did you ever think maybe that your accusations are kind of pushing her away and that she might become a little bit cold towards you if you keep suspecting her of fooling around? And that's why... Is she withholding sex from you, do you think, or are you withholding from her?
Well, I don't know. It does get in the way.
Yeah, okay. So what you're saying... Oh, it sounds like you got a big cough there. That's cool. So it gets in the way. What gets in the way? You guys are withholding from each other?
Yeah, when I get angry.
Oh,
you know.
Well, you think? No, you can't do that. You know, what you have to do is you have to be more trusting and you have to, like, chill out a little bit. You got to relax. It's really a turnoff if you're always suspecting that she's fooling around. Does she know that you're checking her emails?
No.
Okay. You know what? I would stop doing that because it's making you more paranoid. You think there's a code going on between her and her girlfriends?
I don't know.
Okay, don't go there. That's really paranoid, okay?
Yeah.
No offense or anything, but I think you should just really kind of consider what. Have you had bad relationships in the past?
I've had three other relationships in the past.
All right. And how did they turn out?
Unsuccessful.
Okay, why?
Two of my past relationships, I found out that they were screwing around behind my back.
Okay. So you're hurt. So you have old wounds, and you're fearing that that might happen again.
I guess I'm just not very good.
You're not very good?
Yeah.
At what?
I've had too many failures, you know.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know what? I think you need to take a look at your low self-esteem, and I think you're just kind of pushing that on her, projecting that onto her. And I think she's pushing away from you because nobody wants to be with a guy who's always accusing them, especially if they're a good person and trying to live their life and live with you and love you and be with you. Mm. Nobody wants to hear that.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Right.
A girl is going to get turned off, and she's going to get really angry towards you, and passive-aggressive, by the way.
So what should I do?
Showing up later and later?
No.
Okay, good. Because what happens after a while is the people that you're accusing of fooling around on you, or you're so jealous of them and you suspect things and you're looking around, you're always waiting for something, it pushes them farther and farther away.
Yeah.
So you got to hear me. You've got to get a handle on your self-esteem and look that you were damaged in the past, but that doesn't necessarily mean somebody's going to hurt you now. So you got to go, you know, you got to go look at some of that old stuff. Got to go look at some of those old hurts, you know, and realize that this is your stuff probably. Unless you have any concrete facts, there are no secret codes. And you've discussed this with her, and she said to you time and time again, I'm not fooling around on you, right?
Right.
All right? And she calls you when she's out. Does she call you during the day at work?
Yeah.
Does she say, I love you, or I miss you?
Yeah.
Or, okay. Yeah. See, I think you have a lot of self-esteem stuff going on. And it's probably my guess that you probably had a tough time growing up. I don't know. Somebody made you feel less than. Somebody made you feel like you deserve to be victimized, or maybe you're feeling low self-esteem that you're not good enough. So it's okay for someone to hurt you because you have a lot of old hurts. Am I right?
I guess you could say that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could say that.
Okay.
So I need to look forward. That's what you're basically saying.
I think it's really important to explore your past, and I think maybe you should call someone. You know, in your area.
You think I need therapy?
I think you could get a handle on your self-esteem and realize why you're so paranoid about someone cheating on you. And it may go beyond the fact that you've been hurt before. And then, you know.
You mean the fact that I follow her is a problem?
You follow her? Oh, this is new information to me. You follow her? Okay. Let me just tell you right now, Jake, you're going to lose this woman. Does she know that you followed her before?
No.
Okay. Stop.
I knew that was wrong.
You're going to drive yourself crazy. You're driving yourself crazy, and there is no good reason. My suggestion is before you can really get into a healthy relationship, you got to work on what's going on within you and find out why you feel so devalued within yourself that someone would cheat on you and hurt you when you have no evidence to the contrary. If she's a good lady and with you and being with you, it's okay for her to go out with her friends. It's okay. Okay?
No.
Yes?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
She needs to work. She needs to thrive. There will always be men in the workplace. There will always be people out there in the world. You can't be paranoid. And you can't always be looking at your girlfriend like she's going to hurt you. So I would suggest, and I know this is kind of a cop-out to say, but really, 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 you sound like a really nice person who's been wounded and had a bad past and has very low self-esteem. And if you continue this, you're going to be worse. You're going to drive yourself crazy. And you're going to drive her away.
I don't have low self-esteem.
You're in denial. You're in denial, honey. You're going to drive this person away. You're going to drive this person completely away. I wouldn't want to be with you, honestly. Oh. If I was her, I would not want to be with you. Constantly accusing me of flirting or of fooling around or what are you doing, being questioned. Especially, she comes home early with her friends, too. And women do, you know, we do get social. Don't you have a drink or two when you're out with your friends?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
All right. I would really get some help with, you know, maybe what went on in your past, and then start to change now. Make some conscious choices to change now, because that's the way that you're going to work on keeping this relationship. Because what you're going to find is if she's going out Friday and she's going out with her friend, she's going to start making excuses to go out more and more and more just to avoid you. And you don't want that. And see, that'll be a self-fulfilling prophecy, because she'll be gone. She'll be saying, bye-bye. Have a nice bye-bye. Well, yeah, I know so. You're going to push her away farther and farther.
And the fact that I've been thinking about having a fling That's a problem, too.
Why would you do that?
Well, because I think she's screwing around behind my back.
No. That's really, you really need to call someone in your area and take a look at that. Why you need to get back at. You don't need to have a fling. You need to get with yourself. You need to have a really good relationship with you and find out and appreciate and have some self-respect and figure out why you're so fearful and what really were the messages you got when you were younger that told you you weren't good enough.
Yeah.
And told you that you really have to be paranoid.
If I contact you, can you refer me to someone in my area?
Oh, sure. I can do that. I can look on our list here. So absolutely, I'd be happy to do that. But just hear me. You're going to blow this relationship. If you really value this person, you're going to blow her away. And see, if you blow her away, if she goes away and says, I'm done with this guy, he's always accusing me of fooling around or whatever, it's going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. See? You're going to say, see? There's no good women out there, and I knew she was going to fool around.
There is no good women out there.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, and you have to take a look, too. And if she's,
I'm just kidding. I know there's good women out there.
Okay. You're giving me a little hope.
I guess
here.
I just got to get down and dirty with this thing.
Well, yeah, you got to help yourself. You got to help yourself because, you know, I'll tell you what, any woman who would continue to stay with you if you continue to argue with her and accuse her for no good reason, the woman that's going to stay with you, sorry about this, Jake, she has low self-esteem too because she's getting something out of that. Okay? So you got to look at what are you getting out of being mad at her? What are you hanging on to? What are you getting out of it? Constantly being fearful and paranoid. Okay?
Yeah.
All right?
You're awfully pretty, by the way.
Oh, well, thank
you. Looking at you at the computer.
Okay, Jake, you're creeping me out now on the air.
All right.
Just kidding. Thank you. You want to? You're looking at BBS Talk Radio right now.
Yeah.
That was a lot of lighting. Really good makeup guy and highlighting. It's called computer graphics. No,
so I can email you.
Please do, and I'll try to help you out with somebody in your area. All righty. You hang in there, guy. Try to get with what I said a little bit and think about it, okay?
Okay.
All right. Take good care of yourself.
Thanks, Dr. Michelle.
All right. Thanks for calling.
I love your show.
Thank you, honey. Have a good one. Take care of yourself. Don't pull that stuff on her tonight. Don't you be doing that. Let her go out. Don't you get mad at her. Let her go out and say, hey, when she comes home, or you go out with your friends and then come on home about the same time. Plan to meet. Why don't you guys meet somewhere after you guys, you know, get done with hanging out with your friends. Go meet somewhere and tell her how much you love her and just chill on the anger stuff and the paranoia stuff. Try that tonight.
Okay.
Just try that tonight.
I'll do it.
All righty. Have a good day. Thanks for calling.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Bye.
All right. Nice. Now, that was a perfect example of low self-esteem in somebody who really, you know, needs to work on themselves. I hope I wasn't too hard on you, Jake. Love you, baby. But I know how it's really, you can really drive yourself crazy and suffer. You really can do all that stuff. It's horrible to suffer in fear that somebody's cheating on you. But you have to have, you know, real physical proof. You have to have evidence that someone's doing that to you. It's really important to do that. So if I were you, I would just do a little reality check. And don't be checking her emails. I have clients who tell me that they check their boyfriends and girlfriends' texts on their phones. Don't do that. Come on. It's private. Get a communication going. Have a little more trust in them. If you don't trust them, then make them go away. But I would suggest from the information I got from Jake that there's no real proof or evidence showing that this woman's fooling around on him. It's really not the real deal. All right. That really took up a lot of time. I got to scoot. I got to get on out of here. TJ McCormick, the man, is coming up and on his way. You've been on the couch with Dr. Michelle. And by the way, if you would like to contact me, you could like to check me out on my website, find out a little more bit about what I'm about. You can tell I'm 1 hour and my lips are not moving. Dr. Michelle Therapy, Dr. Michelle with two L's, therapy. .com. DrMichelleTherapy.com. That's me. Check out my website. And keep it right here on BBS Talk Radio for some of the most stimulating, irreverent music and talk. Well, there's my music. Thank you. That was a cue. A little cue for the engineer. Cue the music. Hey, have a great evening. Take good care of yourselves. Tomorrow morning at 11 a.m., same stuff. You'll be on the couch with me, your friendly psychologist, Dr. Michelle, getting off the couch now.